Okay, my friends, today we're going to take a look at the fifth reading. So, Perek Chav Zayin. We're going to go to verse 12. And here, we're going to be speaking about an event that's already been referenced. The Jewish people will come to Eretz Yisrael, and there will be blessings and curses that are placed before them. Actually, Rashi references this or uses this to explain the meaning of Re'eh, beginning of Parshas Re'eh. See, I place before you today Es HaBracha Ves HaKlola, the blessings and the curses, and Rashi references this. At any rate, that very first day, when we came into the Holy Land, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us that this is what would happen. Verse 12 tells us, Eilu Yamdu Levarech Es Ha'om Al Har Grizim. These are the ones that will stand to bless the nation. Yamdu Levarech, stand to bless the nation on Mount Grizim, Be'ovrechem Es HaYarden, when you are going to pass across the Jordan River. And who are those? The tribes of Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. So those tribes will stand on Har Grizim. Ve'elu yamdu al haklola, and these will stand on the curses, and they will be standing on Har Eval, Mount Abel. And those are the tribes of Reuven, God, and Asher, Zvulun, or Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So we have two mountains, and the Jewish people tribally divided into two sides. Six tribes are on one mountain, six tribes on the other mountain. And what will happen? And the Levites will stand in the middle. V'anu halavim, verse 14. V'anu halavim v'amru. The Levites will respond and they will say, Ibn Ezra tells us this comes from the terminology of v'anisa v'amarta, the same terminology we had earlier in the parsha with regard to Bikur and the firstling fruits. And they will say, meaning in a loud, very loud voice, El kol ish Yisrael, to each and every individual member of Am Yisrael, koil ram, a very loud voice. Why do we have to emphasize the idea of koil ram? So this is the notion that the voices were unnaturally loud. What do you call a PA system in modern Hebrew? A ram kol, right? So this is koil ram. Koil ram means an amplified voice. And the Gemara in Talmud Yerushalmi, Masechus Sota, tells us that this was to show you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Almighty God Himself, was a partner in these blessings and curses. Because the Levim's voices, they carried much, much higher. There wasn't the octaves they reached were not possible on their own, without any kind of assistance. So this is Kol Ram, that Hashem Himself assisted in the declaration or in the recitation of these blessings or curses. Let's take a look in Rashi of Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Levarech es ha'am. What does this mean? So first of all, Rashi says, heaven forfend for us to think that this means that only part of the Jewish people will receive blessing, and part of the Jewish people will not receive blessing. Chas v'shalom. All the Jewish people are going to be blessed. And it's interesting to note, it doesn't say, yamdu al haklala. It says, eile yamdu levarech. These will be, stand to be blessed. It doesn't say, yamdu lihikolel. Or Lamda Lakalil doesn't say they'll stand to be cursed. It says Yamdu al haklala. They'll stand there on the curses, not to be cursed, Chas v'shalom, because they're not going to be cursed at all. And this is Rashi Chumash Bamidbar tells us that's because Hashem doesn't even want to mention the word klala when he speaks about the Jewish people. It tells us that in Parshas Bilam. So Hashem doesn't want to mention the word Yamdu al haklala, stand to be cursed. Chas v'shalom. No Jew stands to be cursed. But it's Yamdu al haklala. You stand on the curses. The Kli Yakar incredibly says that the curses are doing. What comes from Hashem, it depends how we receive it. And actually, back in Parsha Sa'ed, the Kli Yakar uses an amazing metaphor. He says the same sun, it bleaches the clothes and it tans the face of the person doing the laundry. It's the same sun. Same sun. He said the same sun melts the wax and the same sun hardens the egg. It creates a hard-boiled egg. So what is the difference? The difference is not the sun. The sunlight is the sun. The difference is the material, the recipient, how you so to speak, are ready to receive it. And so the Kli Yakar says the blessings, blessings come from Hashem. Curses, Hashem doesn't curse anybody, chas v'shalom. The question is how we take it. The question is what we do with the situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. So that's why it says Yamdu al haklala. But anyway, let's go to Rashi, because Rashi is going to give us a very clear explanation of what exactly is going on here. Rashi says, as we learn in Masechta Seita, Rashi refers, of course, here to Talmud Bavli. and this is found on page 32 onward, that it says, Shisha Shvatim Alu L'Reish Har Grizim. Six of the tribes climbed Mount Grizim, and there they stationed themselves. V'shisha, the other six, L'Reish Har Evel, they climbed to the summit of Mount Ebal. V'hakoyinim V'halavim, and those who would be serving Hashem by carrying the Aron, which is really the Kohanim, but Kohanim are called HaKohanim HaLevim because the Kohanim come from the tribe of Levi. They would be Lamata, they would be below, but together with the Aron. The Kohanim HaLevim HaAron Lamata, they would be in the middle between the two mountains and what we call in English a valley. And then Hafchu Levim Pneim Klapi HaGrizim, the Levim turned to face Mount Grizim. Ufoschu B'bracha, they began to speak the words of blessing. And then they said, Baruch Isha Shaliyasef Esel, blessed is the person who doesn't make an idol, umasecha, a molten figure, or figurine, v'goymer, etc. Ve'elu, ve'elu, and the Jewish people, the tribes of Israel, standing on both mountains, on the Mount of Grizim, as well as on the Mount of Abel, both all answered, Amen. Then Chazru, then they turned. V'hofchu p'neyem, klape har Evel, they faced Mount Evel. U'paschu b'chlala, they began to speak the words of curses. V'yomrim, and they said, Oroi shashayasef esel, cursed is the person who will fashion an idol v'goymer. And what happened? And then Elo v'yelo in an amen. Both would answer amen. And then they turned back to Hargrizim, and they said, Baruch hasherim makla esavivu, blessed is the one who does not shame his father or mother, v'goymer. So esavivisimei. And then Chazir hefchu p'nei lehar Evel. Then they turned them out faces to Har Evel, and they said, Oro makla avivimei, cursed is the person who would demean and bring disgrace to his father and mother. The chayin, and so it is, or rashal yokum, the cursed is the one who does not establish the words of the Torah, and so they would turn to Har Grizim, say the blessing, turn to Har Evel, say the curse, turn to Har Grizim, Har Evel, Har Grizim, Har Evel, back and forth, and there was a string of, as we're going to see, 11 curses. But we're going to talk about the curses today, actually. We're not going to focus on the blessings.
Why is it so necessary to differentiate the Jewish people.
Why was it necessary to differentiate? The whole point of Rashi is that it wasn't that there was some people being cursed and there was some people being blessed. Everybody was being blessed and everybody was being cursed. It was in your hands, like Kli Yoker says.
So why the different? Why did this?
Because there was wanted to make a very clear distinction between right and between wrong, between good and bad, between blessings and curses. That's what we say in the beginning of Parsha. Say, Re'ei Anochi Nesel Lefnecheim. See, I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be as different as two mountain summits. It's a different direction. Either you face the direction of goodness or you face the direction of badness. It's not parav. It's not whatever, okay. You know, it's not too bad, not too good, somewhere in the middle. No such thing. Judaism is one way or the other. You have to find the black and the white. And you choose one or the other. Don't kind of choose to be, you know, some gray matter in the middle. All right, so what were the actual words? Now we're going to hear about it here. V'aron ha'levim, we go through the curses. Cursed is the person who would make a fessel, an idol, a masecha, a molten deity, a molten figure. Toyevas Hashem, this is an abomination for God. Maisei de chorosh, the hands of a craftsperson. Vasom basaser, and he places it in some kind of secret location. He does this very, very privately, very fervently, and underneath the radar. V'anu chol ha'am, the whole nation would answer, v'amru amen. Everybody, from the right to the left, everybody would answer amen. Because really, there's no right and there's no left. As they say, the right wing and the left wing are both the bird, the wings of the same bird. Right? And the truth is, we don't believe in right wing Jews and left wing Jews. We believe in Jews. That's it. And everybody has to say amen. It doesn't matter where you're, what orientation, so to speak, you follow ideologically or politically. As long as you remain connected to Torah, everything's fine. And that becomes the main thing. That's our hallmark. That's who we really are. And v'anu amen, they said amen. Now, here's the question for you. How can we begin with Avodah Zarah? Why is it the first thing we talk about? And the next thing we talk about, incidentally, in verse 16, is Arur Makla Avavime. Blessed, cursed is a person who would disgrace, demean his father or mother. V'amar kol ha'amen, the whole nation says amen. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says something gevaldik. He says, Avodah Zarah, shkula kol ha'tairah. The whole Torah is likened to the concept of Avodah Zarah. A person violates, worships idols, you worship a different god. It doesn't matter if you put on tzitzis and you wrap tefillin and you give tzedakah and you eat kosher and light Shabbos candles. You worship an idol. You worship another god. The whole notion of this Jews for Jay Mishagas. It's lunacy. You worship another god. You're bringing another deity into the picture. It's like a husband who's very, very doting, very good to his wife, except that he sleeps with somebody else. Like he can't, it doesn't work out. You can't be connected to Hashem, worship another idol, but I do all the other mitzvahs. So really, this is like the line where everything rises and falls, and therefore, that's where we begin. And then it's the next thing. The next thing is respecting our parents. How come? In Aseres Hadibros, it's not the second thing discussed. The answer is very simple. Because when it comes to respecting parents, it's not just they're nice people, they took care of me, or maybe they didn't. The point is that your parents are partners with God. That's the idea of respecting parents. Respecting parents ultimately is an extension of respecting God. So if you cannot respect your parents, you can't respect God either. And that's how to begin with abandoning God directly, and then we talk about those who are partners together with Hashem, and those, namely your parents. Now, why does it say v'som b'saser? And you'll see that this is repeated only twice. But the Mefarshim seem to believe that all of these curses are connected to doing things in secret, flying beneath the radar, hiding your nefarious deeds. Why? Why is that the issue? In fact, we're even going to see there's certain things that are not discussed because you couldn't do those in private. That would be an obvious and a blatant kind of violation of Hashem's will. So the basic explanation that Rashbam tells us, he says you only see this idea of a son of a sesser twice. You see it here with regard to idolatry, and you see it with regard to one who would strike his fellow, one who gets violent. And he says this is because in both of those cases, sometimes it would be done open, and sometimes people figure out what you're doing, and sometimes it could be done privately or secretly. But Rashbam says all of the other ones, they're almost always done privately. And we're going to see, we're going to go through the 11 curses and see how they're all done in a manner that it's filled with obfuscation, camouflage, deceit, where people don't own up to their evil deeds and they don't say openly, yeah, sure, I'm involved in sedition against God. I'm doing what Hashem doesn't want. No, they do it very quietly. So nobody even would know the difference, as we're going to see. So idols, obviously. Someone could worship idols privately. How would you ever know? And then there's this, you know, overt loyalty that's being expressed elsewhere. Verse 17 is, Arur Masa Gvul Re'ehu. Cursed is the person who would push the border of his friend. In other words, you're talking about stealing land. And specifically, as we learned in the previous parsha, this is the idea of stealing land in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. V'anu chala'am, the entire nation answered, and they said, Amen. So how is this secret? Very simple. The guy doesn't go openly and say, I'm going to steal your land. Quietly at night, he moves the post a little bit. You know, just creates new facts on the ground. His friend goes on vacation for a week. All of a sudden, he comes back. He didn't even notice anything. And that's the idea of geneva, surreptitious theft. Arur mate, verse 18. Arur mashge iver badarach. Cursed is the person who confounds the blind on the way. The Omar kalaam, amen. Everybody says, so what does this mean, mashge iver? It means like a person who would do something, who would put a stumbling block in front of somebody that they should do the wrong thing, but they don't even know they're doing the wrong thing because they're blind. The Yosef Becher Sher says, this will be, for example, somebody who feeds something which is not kosher. And how is that basaser? How is that secretly? He says, oh, I thought it was kosher. I didn't even know. How would you tell? It's not. It doesn't have like hooves, doesn't chew its cud, it's a piece of meat. How would you know of who milked the milk? It's chalav yisrael, it's not. Yeah, don't worry, it's good for him, it's fine. Everything is just fine. So somebody who does something like that actually is cursed. For that would be an example of putting a stumbling block in front of the blind. Verse 19, Orur mata mishpat ger yosam v'almana. Cursed is the person who would pervert or twist the justice of a proselyte, of an orphan, or of a widow. The Amar kala'am, the whole nation said, Amen. Very interesting, we emphasize these ideas. And of course the question is, why is that called secret? So the Ibn Ezra and the Chizkuni say the same thing. Say you start up with a person who has a prominence, who is standing in the community, and then he opens his mouth, and he nukes you, tells everybody what this person did to him. But here you have a person that you could easily take advantage of and you can abuse. Person is uncomfortable, you know, not comfortable in their own skin, afraid they're going to be in some way harassed, bothered, they're nervous about it. Or somebody is a widow, or somebody is an orphan, somebody doesn't have the strength to fight back. And that's who you take advantage of. That's the person who's really cursed. In other words, the emphasis here is on the deeds that will be done beneath the radar that nobody would see. The things people would do quietly to abuse and take advantage of others. Arur Sheichev im Eisha Saviv. Cursed is a person who would, heaven forfend, have intimacy with his father's wife. Ki gilu knafaviv. He has uncovered the, literally, this is a euphemism, the corner of the robe of his father. V'yomar kol ha'am, the whole nation said, Amen. All right, so what does this mean? So Rashbam is very clear, and he says, this is talking about a situation where a person did not see. It was not seen. This is a surreptitious, a private affair, so to speak. And that's why, and interestingly, Ramban says, how come earlier in the Torah, in Chumash Vayikra, when we talk about in Parshas Kedoshim, about people who have these assorted kind of affairs, Achmanu Litzlan, so over there it says we talk about it straight. The terminology that's used is Ervas Aviv Gila, the nakedness of his father that he exposed. And here we say Knaf, like the corner of the robe. It's a euphemism. Why do we use the euphemism? And Ramban says that's exactly the point, because here is being done secretly, quietly. So when the Torah talks about something which is graphic, Torah has no choice to use ugly language, so to speak, to use blunt language. But here we're talking about something which is done, again, beneath the radar, quietly, still a hate, nobody knows. And that's why the Torah uses a more refined form of language. Or sheikh of a behema. Cursed is the person who would be intimate with an animal. The Amr Kala Am, the whole nation said, Amen. Now the obvious question is, the next verse 22, speaks about Ar Sheikh of Machaisei. Of course, there's a person who's intimate with his sister, Basaviv Basimai, whether they share one parent, a common father, or a common mother. The Amr Kala Am, and the whole nation says, Amen. Why do we go from a mother-in-law to a sister, and in between, we put a goat? Why didn't we go in an order? Say, a person that did this kind of incest, that kind of incest, that person so depraved, did they sleep with a sheep or a goat? So the answer, actually, the Eruv Chaim says, is very simple. The Torah is trying to tell you that sleeping with a mother-in-law or with a sister is as depraved as sleeping with a goat. It's a disgusting kind of behavior. And incidentally, these kind of things happen in the world we live, and there's even people who are lobbying for quote-unquote equal rights, and they want to have now marriages like this and so on and so forth. They want to do away with all these limitations. So lest you think this is just off the rails, and who would ever dream of this, Rahman al-Utslan, this is becoming more common, not less common. At least now it's in the open. Heaven forfend. Or Sheikh Avim Chaysante. Cursed is the person who were to sleep with their daughter-in-law, the Amar Kal Ha'am, the whole nation says, Amen. How is that hidden? Very simple. You know, it's pardon me, Chasante is the mother-in-law. First we talk about the father's wife, then we talk about Chasante is the mother-in-law. And Rashbam says, you know, she comes to the house and so on and so forth, and nobody knows. Who could have think? Who would have imagined? Orer makere yeu. Cursed is a person who strikes his friend Basasar, and here, like Rashbam told us in the beginning, by this curse, it emphasizes the idea of Basasar, that is done surreptitiously. V'omar kol ha'om, amen. Everybody says amen. So why do we have to say the idea of that he strikes him hidden? Because, first of all, if you hit somebody, they're probably going to talk about it. So how could you get away with that? But there could be a way that it's done in a private fashion. Rabbeinu Meyucha says striking doesn't only mean physical injury. It could even mean murder. So a person does, he kills somebody else quietly and nobody knows the difference. Or he says that it could be a situation, the Ksava Kabbalah says, that we have people who are endlessly fighting with each other. And their arguments get very, very deep and very pernicious. And, you wouldn't necessarily know when they're fighting, when they're not fighting. And this is how it can be in the open or not. Verse 25, the next one is Aru Lekeach Sheikhad, cursed is the person who takes bribery, Lahakes Nefesh Dam Noki, in order to convict somebody wrongly, unlawfully. And the whole nation says, Amen. And then the Torah finishes off, and it says, Aru Rashallah Yokim is Divir Atera Hazayis, cursed is the person who does not establish the words of the Torah, Lasa Seisim Dudim, Vi'omar Kala'om, Amen. And that is the litany of the 11 curses that are delivered when the Jewish people land in the country which we call Israel. Now here's a question. Why 11? How many tribes are there? 12. So why 11 curses? So you take a look now in Rashi on verse 20 of 24. Rashi says like this. Ra'isi bi yisoidai. Yisoidai is the foundational writings, but it really means the books of Rabbi Moshe Hardarshan. Was a famous rabbi who lived just before Rashi. His name was Rav Moshe the preacher, and Rashi oftentimes refers to him in his commentary on the Chumash. So Rav Moshe Hadarshan says, "Achad asar arurim yeshkan." There are 11 curses here. besides the last one. But is a general one. It doesn't speak about a specific Aveda. So therefore, he says, what's the Achadasa Arurim? This is Keneged. This corresponds to Yud Aleph Shvatim, to 11 tribes. Why do we speak about corresponding to 11 tribes? What's up? We have 12 tribes. Says Rashi, you can neged Shimon lei kasav arur, corresponding to Shimon. It doesn't say arur. Why? Lefi shalei hoya b'libi levarchai. Since Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't planning to bless him lifnei Moshe before he died, kishabedech shara shvatim, when he blessed the other tribes. So therefore, lekach leratzel lekalei. Therefore, he didn't want to curse him either. So he had in mind all 11 tribes, and each one got it over the head, and each one got a potential curse. And the Shimon, he wasn't thinking of saying anything good, so he didn't want to say anything bad. That's what Rashi says. And the question, of course, is how do we end up? How did this, other than the number, how does it end up corresponding to 11 tribes? Now, clearly, Rashi says that each one corresponds to a particular tribe. Because if it's just 11, it doesn't say Shimon is left out. It says, no, Shimon is left out. Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind 12 of the tribes, except for Shimon. So 11. Shimon was left out. That means the other ones he had in mind. Which curse went to which tribe? And why would he have that? So to be sure, there is an explanation from Abarbanel and from Maskel HaDavid. The problem with their explanations are they don't fit with Rashi. They talk about like futuristic stuff. And because it's future-focused, about events that the child who learned Chumash and got up to Parshas Kisav and never learned about, it's impossible that Rashi would do that. Because one of the rules of Rashi is Rashi only relies on what the child learned already. If the child learned it already, he should know it. If the child didn't learn it, then he probably doesn't know it. So we have to then say that there's some way to identify the 11 different curses that would correspond to 11 of the tribes individually, specifically, and that the child should be able to figure it out by himself from what he learned in the past. So that's the question that the Rebbe puts to us. And we're going to go through this now on page Pezayin and hear how these 11 curses correspond to 11 of the tribes. Now, I want to emphasize that when you say a curse corresponds, it doesn't say people who did these things. It says that people who might be prone to do this, it's like a warning, don't do this because you're going to be cursed if you do this. So there would be people who have a predisposition, a preponderance of doing something. It's like if you expect your child to behave in a certain way, you'll say to the child, don't do A, B, and C. Why shouldn't I do A, B, and C? You know why? Because you're going to be cursed. And this is what like you're suspectful or concerned with, meaning there seems to be some kind of deviation or some kind of weakness in that direction. And because there's a weakness, that's where you put up the fence. That's what this curse is like. It's like putting up an extra fence, an extra wall, an extra barrier, something to protect, to ensure that these people don't end up going down that path. So the Rebbe amazingly goes through 11 of the tribes, and he identifies how we have already learned, up till Parshas Kisavei, the weakness of each tribe. We have already attributed it in each one of the individual curses. So let's start off. Number one, the curse was about the idea of Pesel, right? So the Rebbe says that would obviously correspond to the tribe of Dan. Why? Because Rashi already told us in Parshas Lech Lecha that Avraham Avinu chased his enemies up, it says, Vayirdef ad Don. He chased them till Don. Now this is the land of Israel that's going to be called Don in the distant future, many, many centuries later, like 4 or 5 centuries later. So why do we call it Don? So Rashi told us over there, Sham Toshash Kreche, Avraham was weakened. Why? Sherah, he saw that in the future, Asidim Bon of Lahamicham Egel, that his children would establish a golden calf there. Who was that? That was in the tribe of Dun. So Dun had a predisposition, it seems, to idolatry. And that's why the first one would correspond to Dun. Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking Dun when he said, Arur, cursed is the person who makes the concept of an idol. Now what's the next thing? About disrespecting parents. So the Rebbe suggests this corresponds to the tribe of Asher. Why would Asher be prone to disrespect parents? Well, in the blessings of Jacob, it says, "Me'asher shmeinu lachmei," that Asher will have fine delicacies. His bread will be, so to speak, rich. "V'hu'yitim adani melech," he'll give royal delicacies. In other words, that the tribe of Asher enjoyed enormous wealth, enormous plenty and affluence. And you know what happens when there's a shift between one generation and the next, when the next generation becomes very affluent? Invariably, what will happen is that the generation that's affluent will disrespect and demean their parents. Where do we see this? We see this 2 weeks ago. We learned about a ben sorer umore. We learned about a child who's rebellious. And the child who's rebellious, it says, zoylel v'soyve. He's, so to speak, he's stuffed. He's got too much. And it all comes out of too much. This is a generation, we actually live in a generation that has an enormous breakdown of the respect between parents and children. And where did it come from? It comes from because it's enormous affluence today. And people have so much, and there's a sense of entitlement. And along with that entitlement, and along with that affluence, invariably comes a natural disrespect for parents and previous generations. And therefore, Usher is what Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind when he said, watch yourself, don't demean your parents. The next one was about borders, moving borders. Who would this correspond to? Says Rashi, that would the Rebbe says that would correspond to Yisachar. Because it says in the blessings of Yaakov Avinu, remember, it's all stuff we already learned before. The child could figure this out. It says, Yisachar chamer gorim. Yisachar is a bony donkey. He's reivitz bein ha-mishpasayim. And he crouches between the borders. In other words, that Yisachar always was a border guy. He was always crouched at the border. So crouched at the border. You're crouching at the border. That's very easy for you to move the border a little. Because you crouch right there. You're engaged there. Other mashge iver bederech, the cursed is the person who would put a stumbling block in front of somebody. This suggested Ebbe corresponds to the tribe of Binyamin. Why? Because we learned the Parshas Pinchas that when Aaron HaKohen died, there was a group of Jews who said, we're done, we're going back. And who was that group of Jews? It says actually there were seven families that were wiped out because these people actually left. They were heading back to Mitzrayim. And the Levites went after them. And there was a civil war. And they killed Levites, and the Levites killed them. And in the end, we got them everybody back on track. Seven families were gone. Out of seven families, five of them came from the tribe of Binyamin. So Binyamin was guilty of placing a massive, the greatest of stumbling blocks, right when the Jewish people were just heading towards the land of Israel. So therefore, we have this idea that Binyamin would have a preponderance to stumbling blocks. Arumata Mishpat, cursed is one who would twist or pervert justice. Who would that correspond to? Oh, Av, that's easy. Yehuda. Because Yaakov Avinu blessed Yehuda, Liyasa Shevet Yehuda, Umechaikek Mibein Naglov. The tribe will not depart from Yehuda, and a lawgiver from between the feet of Yehuda. So Yehuda was the family that produced the justices, the judges, the those who were involved in the concept of adjudicating and bringing about justice. And therefore, they naturally, because they're going to be involved in the justice system, well, whoever's involved, that's who has the possibility of perverting justice. Or Sheikhev im Ashes Aviv. Cursed is the person who might sleep with his father's wife. The Rebbe says this again is easy. That's got to correspond to Reuven. What did Reuven do? Reuven, it says, went and he slept with Bilhah, who was Pelegesh Aviv. Now, of course, Rashi tells us there that it doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom literally. He didn't actually sleep with her. He just rearranged his father's bedroom, mixed into his father's life in a way that was highly inappropriate, so the Torah uses that euphemism. But once again, that's a predisposition from the act and behavior of Reuven that would show that Reuven would have a preponderance in that direction. Or a Sheikh of a Behema. Somebody's very close to his goat. So close to his goat, he might get intimate with his goat. Well, which of the tribes expressed a great love for their goats and their sheep? Once again, this was easy. It was the tribe of Gad. Gad said, we have a lot of animals, a lot of livestock. We want to remain on the other side of the Jordan River. And they even said, we're going to build pens for our livestock and homes for our children. They talked about their animals. They talked about their livestock before they talked about their own family. Moshe says, no, what are you talking about? First take care of your wives and children. Then you'll take care of the animals. Well, if somebody is so connected to his animal, that would be a possible preponderance, chas v'shalom, to go that direction. That corresponds to Gad. Or a sheikh of Machaisai. Cursed is the person who might sleep with a sister. This corresponds to Naphtali, because Naphtali's name came from Rachel saying, Naphtuli alekim Naphtalti Machaisi. I have now finally caught up to my sister, because she had a baby through her maidservant named Bilhah. In other words, that there's a very close connection, a kindred connection in the name Naphtali between siblings. And in fact, we could derive from this that the tribe of Naphtali was known for wonderful familial relationships. They had they were very close siblings. But close siblings, then there's always a concern. Siblings don't talk to each other. Don't worry, they're not sleeping with each other. If they're very, very close, maybe they could get too close. That's where you need to be the extra warning. That's where you need to take the extra care. Or Sheikh Ibn Chisante, cursed is the one who would sleep with his mother-in-law. Who's that referring to? Which tribe? Who came almost into that situation? Yosef. Potiphar's wife was his mother-in-law. She tried to seduce Yosef. So that's, once again, naturally corresponds. Or Makar Yehu B'Sosser, cursed is the one who might strike, or as we learned in the Mepharshim, even kill. Who is the one who went as repetitiously when he killed? There was two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to give any curses. So who did he talk to them? That's Levi. Levi has a preponderance to this. And actually, the Rebbe doesn't mention it here, but perhaps you could also say that Levi was ready to pick up arms twice after the Egel, and later on when it came to Jewish people dividing, you know. And finally, last but not least, Arlikech Sheikhad, the cursed is the one who might take any kind of bribery. This corresponds to Zvulun. What was Zvulun's job? Again, from the blessings of Jacob, what did Zvulun do? He lived in Tel Aviv, the merchants, they were the ones who were dealing with the big profit and the big money. So whenever you big deal, big profit and big money, there's always the possibility of corruption that comes from that money. And so we see how if you think about it carefully, these 11 curses that Rashi says perfectly correspond to one of the tribes individually. Now the truth be told, as we learned at the beginning of Rashi, all this applies to all of the Jewish people. And in truth, it doesn't mean anybody did these things. It meant it was you have to be extra careful. What are you careful about? About the areas that you might make a mistake in, where there is a possibility for weakness. And what's the lesson for us? If there's an area for weakness, if there's an area where you see that there may be something you have to be concerned, that's where you need the extra care and concern. That's where you have to ensure that things stay on the straight and narrow, that the Yid remains loyal to Hashem and His Torah. And so long as we remain loyal, there will be no curses, but only blessings in Meretz Hashem, and Hashem should bless us with the greatest blessing that we will have, not only a Shana Tevu Mesukah, a happy and a sweet year coming up, but that this will finally be the year of Geula, Hamitis Vashlema, the blessing of the coming of Mashiach. May it happen speedily and in our days. Amen.